As I was coming over here this morning to a, I had the radio on and it was some station and had a preacher and he was preaching. And as I was listening to him, he made a couple of statements that I thought were very wonderful. He said that if the church dismissed folks for complaining like they did other sins, they wouldn't be near as many in the church. He said, we probably have to replace most of the board, most of the staff, most of the teachers, and said we'd be rotating preachers every Sunday. And but then he said something very convicting. I thought about what he said. He said, for the next week, I want you to do something. He said, I want you to go every day for the entire week and not say anything bad about anybody. And he said, I want you to write down, I didn't say anything bad about anybody today. And he said, if you miss a day, then you have to start over. And he said, some of y'all is going to be into 2015. But you know, sometimes that might be a good idea if we could go a whole week and not complain, not say anything bad about anybody this morning. And that's kind of the spirit of the Christmas season, I think. Doesn't have anything to do with our message. I just want to mention that this morning. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, Isaiah, some 700 years before the birth of Christ, some 700 years before Christ would be born in Bethlehem, we find that Isaiah wrote these words. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Lord, thank you today that we have the opportunity that we can come and serve you, that we can this morning worship you. And Father, we pray for Brother Bruce and Barbara and Teresa, they're there in Switzerland, that during this moment of time that you might bless them and comfort them, envelop them in your love. And we pray this morning, Father, that during this coming week as Brother Bruce undergoes the treatments, that you'll be with him and be with Teresa and Barbara as they wait to give them a safe journey back and bring them back to us. We pray for all of these others this morning, Lord, that during this time of the year when they're lonely and depression many times sets in. And I pray that, Lord, today that you might reach down your mighty hand today and you might touch them. You might touch your people this morning more than anything else, that your people might reach out to them and give them a helping hand during this time of the year. If it's nothing but a word of encouragement, a visit, we pray to that, dear Lord, that we might be a minister for you. We ask you now that you go with us in this service, that you guide us and direct us by your Holy Spirit. May this morning as we lift up Jesus Christ and exalt him, that the world might see this morning that we do have a Savior who is Christ the Lord. In his wonderful holy name we pray. Amen and amen. Isaiah, as he here gives a prophecy about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, and as he begins to call out what his name shall be, the very first name that Isaiah gives to him here in this text this morning, and his name shall be called Wonderful. Sometimes I think we speak of a wonderful time, or we talk about a wonderful person, a wonderful place. One of the movies they show continuously this time of the year is A Wonderful Life. But we find here that Isaiah the prophet refers this morning and describes Jesus with this name, Wonderful. If you look up the word in a Hebrew lexicon this morning, you'll find that it means something uncommon or out of the ordinary. It's a phenomenon lying outside the realm of human explanation. Something that cannot be explained. That's what wonderful really is this morning. And so when we look this morning as Isaiah told and says that his name shall be called Wonderful, then we can certainly say this morning that Jesus is beyond human explanation. You cannot explain Jesus Christ this morning. You cannot this morning in the human vernacular find enough words to ever totally and completely explain the Lord Jesus. Many people try to debate. Many movies have been made. Many things this morning have been said. But to be fair with you this morning, he defies all human explanations. And that's why Isaiah, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, should say that his name shall be called Wonderful. You see, Jesus this morning was wonderful in the way that he fulfilled and the prophecies of the Old Testament. When he was born in Bethlehem, we find that as you look back through the scriptures, that God in Abraham called him out of Ur of the Chaldees so that a nation could be established. And the nation of Israel was born with Abraham, the friend of God. And we find that through that nation, God said all the nations of the earth would be blessed. And so this morning, God chose Abraham to be the father of the nation of Israel, so that through that nation, Jesus could be born. But he didn't stop there. He said this morning through Jacob, this morning that a certain tribe would have to be this morning the tribe of the Lamb of God. And he said the line of the tribe of Judah. And so this morning we find that the Bible says that Jesus Christ was born of the tribe of Judah. But God didn't just stop there. He said through Isaiah, he said not only has he got to come through a nation, not only is he going to come through a specific tribe, but this morning he's going to come through a specific family, the family of Jesse. He had to become this morning down through the lineage of David, Micah. We find that prophet this morning over in the Old Testament. Many times we kind of rush past those things, but in the book of Micah, God there described and whispered in Micah's ear the birthplace of the Lord Jesus. In Daniel this morning, he told of the time of his birth. And we find this morning that in Job this morning, in Jonah, he gave this morning a great picture of his resurrection. We could find this morning all the prophecies of the Old Testament, all of those things this morning that God spoke at sundry times and in diverse manners unto the fathers this morning that were spoken, were this morning certainly fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ this morning is wonderful. He's wonderful this morning in his birth. He was the earthly child of a heavenly father and the heavenly child of an earthly mother this morning. You ever thought about what would take place if we were to arrange the birth of Jesus? I find many times this morning that as we live in this day and this age, and we're always wanting to plan things, and we're always wanting to make the finest of everything. But you see, if we were to plan the birth of Jesus this morning, we would probably plan that he would be born into a palace. He would be born there in that great palace that we could put him in this morning. But God chose a barn. This morning, we find that if we this morning were to plan the birth of Jesus Christ this morning, we would probably put him in silken robes. We would probably this morning put him in the great robes that would be so fine, yet God chose the peasant's swaddling clothes. We would probably hire somebody to build us the finest crib that had ever been made, but God chose a feeding trough. This morning we find that Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea. He was born this morning in the exact place that God said that he would be born. The Prince of Glory this morning couldn't even find a room in the inn. The King of Kings, the son of a carpenter's wife this morning, he became rich. He became poor that we might become rich. I mean, he became the poorest of the poor. He this morning left the riches of glory to come into a stable and be born of a virgin and laid in a manger, a feeding trough this morning, and wrapped in swaddling clothes. That was the King of Kings. And he this morning left the riches of glory and became poor. This morning he did that so that we who are so poor, even though many times we pretend to be rich, even though many times we think about how rich we really are. But let me tell you something this morning. Jesus Christ became poor that we might become rich who are poor this morning. And this morning Jesus Christ, as he was born this morning and became the Lamb of God. Our Lord this morning was made known to the shepherds, telling us this morning that God reached out to those who this morning were watching their flocks by night, the working man, the peasants of the field. God this morning reached out even to the lowest of the low, to the poorest of the poor. But he shows no respect of persons. He reached out this morning to wise men who this morning show us that God doesn't always this morning and is no respecter of persons. He revealed him this morning to Anna and Simon that they might worship him before they died. He is God's crowning work this morning. We can look about all the creation of God and everything that God's ever created, and we can see the handiwork of God all around us this morning. We can see everything that God has created. You can step out tonight and look up into the starry sky and see there the wonderful power of God. But I want to tell you this morning, the crowning jewel of all of creation this morning was when Jesus Christ came into this world born of a virgin. The Bible says in John chapter 6 and verse number 29, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. The greatest work that God ever did, the greatest thing that God ever did this morning was send Jesus Christ into this world that you and I might have eternal life. That we might be forgiven of our sins this morning. That we might be granted the right to walk through a gate of pearl and upon a street of gold. That is God's crowning work today of all of the ages. We find this morning that Jesus Christ is the object of all study. For the Bible says in him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. He has to be the object of all true worship. Many times people talk about worship, but listen to me today real carefully. The object of all true worship is Jesus Christ. I read something the other day that was amazing. I was looking and doing some research on different things, and I came across this article written, and it was talking about people who have left the church and how that they've turned their back upon their faith, how they've turned their back upon the things that they once believed because they went through a terrible time in their life. And these churches that were presenting that Jesus wants you to have a wonderful life, that everything here is going to be rosy and beautiful, were causing people when they went through the trials and the sufferings and the problems and the circumstances of life, and they had to undergo those terrible times, that they had this morning they walked away and didn't believe it anymore. I want to tell you something this morning very carefully. when Jesus Christ becomes your Savior. And he becomes the real object of your worship, not you wanting to have a wonderful life. Not this morning you wanting to have a new car, or you wanting to have perfect health, or you wanting to be healed from some disease, or you don't want to have your children go wrong. When all of that becomes the object of your worship today, you're worshiping some idol, but we better be worshiping Jesus. Listen to me very carefully. The Bible says that there's a time when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Now, I want to tell you something this morning. You can do it here, or you can do it at the great white throne judgment. I choose to do it here. And this morning, Jesus is the object of my worship. He's the object of my faith. My faith is in him this morning, not in something that he can do for me, not in something this morning that he can give me, but my faith is in Jesus Christ. I've been through some things in my life. I've been through some times this morning, and I read the other day a very interesting thing. It said 60% of all people who lose a child divorce. I thought that's an amazing thing. Why do they do that? Because they can't cope with it. I want to tell you, you can't cope with it. I'll be fair with you today. It's an impossibility to cope with it. The only way this morning you can come to grips with it is through Jesus Christ and know what he's done. Now listen to me carefully today. Jesus Christ is wonderful because this morning God has sent him into this world. And he's wonderful in his life. He's wonderful in his birth. If I could say one thing today, it would be wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Beyond human explanation. How do you explain Jesus? He gives you the peace that passeth all understanding. I want to tell you, thank God I've got peace in my life. Sometimes I go through times, and sometimes I go through a little bit of depression. I'm not going to lie to you. Sometimes you get to thinking, but then somehow or the other, God will speak a word to you, and you'll have that sweet peace that's beyond all understanding. Wonderful Jesus today. He's wonderful in his life. You know, you read through it and you find that Jesus Christ was never in a hurry. Always amazes me when I read about that. Somebody says, why wasn't he in a hurry? Because he is the first and the last. You don't have to be in a hurry when you're the first and the last. You know, he was the bread of life. Then he went hungry for 40 days so that he might be tempted in all points like we are. He was the water of life. Yet he hung on the cross and cried, I thirst. He could still a raging sea and bring little children to him and bless them. He could preach to multitudes, and yet he would take time to speak to a poor woman brought into him in great sin. I'm glad this morning that Jesus Christ is wonderful to me. He wrote no books. Yet the libraries this morning can't hold the books written about him. He wrote no songs. But yet we find this morning that all the great songs that have been written about him would fill books after books. He founded no colleges. But this morning they still said, never spake a man like this man. He led no army, yet become the spiritual captain of an army of warriors more than any other general that's ever lived. He is the eternal, everlasting, forever and forever. Amen. He this morning is the King of Kings, the only potentate. He's the great shepherd and the chief shepherd. He's the head of the church and the Lord of glory. He's a sinless one who invites sinners to himself because he's a friend of sinners. Jesus Christ was wonderful in his death this morning. he was condemned by those he came to save. When they stood outside of Pilate's hall and cried, "Crucify him, crucify him, crucify him." Pilate saying, "I find no fault in him. Crucify him, crucify him, crucify him." And so they took him outside the gates of Jerusalem to a place called Golgotha and placed him upon a cross and crucified him there between two thieves. And yet we find that nature even rebelled. The sun refused to shine. An earthquake aroused the dead. And the temple veil was rent from top to bottom. As he was on the cross, the Bible says in the book of Matthew that as he was hanging on the cross, that they sat down and watched him there. They sat down and watched him there. They passed their time this morning by hurling insults into his life. You could say you were the Son of God, save yourself. They spewed out hatred. They spewed out insolence, insurrection, rebellion. And they crucified the Son of God. But what did Jesus do? What did Jesus do? You know what Jesus did? He simply said, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." You know, people today sit down and watch him there. We're living in the time of the year, of course, it's Christmas. We give the wonderful gifts and we sing the Christmas songs, and I love all of that. We enjoy the Christmas meals and the Christmas spirit. We have family and friends, and all of those things are wonderful. But do we really think about what we're really celebrating? We are celebrating the birth of wonderful Jesus. And many people, as they're celebrating this time of the year, have forgotten. And they're passing by and watching him there. Yet Jesus, in his wonder, still says, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." Wonderful, wonderful Jesus this morning. He's wonderful in his power. You know, Napoleon could build an empire. Edison could invent machines and processes and create industry. Rockefeller could find oil and make money. Newton could discover the science. But only Jesus this morning can change and recreate the human heart. God said, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, or he shall save his people from their sins." Young man, father was a seminary professor. One evening he came into his father's study and he said, "Daddy," he said, "I saw something." And he said, "What was that, son?" He said, "I saw the real Jesus." And he said, "What do you mean, son?" He said, "You've been reading and knowing about Jesus all these years." He said, "Well," he said, "Daddy, I went down to the church that goes into the Bowery, goes down into the rescue missions." And he said, I went with them tonight and they held a service. And he said, "I saw the derelicts. I saw the prostitutes. I saw those who were captured in sin. And I saw them reach out. And I saw Jesus come into their lives and change their lives and do something for them." He said, "I saw the real Jesus tonight, Father." this was a young man that had been raised in church, been taught. But you see, we can read all about it, but the real Jesus is the Jesus that's real in our heart this morning. Amen. That changes and recreates the human heart. That regenerates us this morning. That we're reborn this morning. We're changed and created all over again. That's the power that Jesus has today. I have no earthly power to do that. But Jesus' power, and that's wonderful. Boy, you look around the society that we live in today, and I see all of the derelicts. I see all of the sinful practices. I see all of the things that are happening. And you, people are saying, we need more money for our social programs. We need to put more money into these areas. We need to do this, and we need to educate them. We need to make sure that they have proper nutrition. We need to do all of these things for them. And I'm not against feeding. I'm not against providing shelter. But I want to tell you something today, ladies and gentlemen. God knows and we know that man needs more than soup and soap and shelter. He needs more than education. You see, the only way we'll ever change society is to tell them about Jesus, the mighty to save. Because he's the only one that can reach out and touch that derelict. The only one that can reach out and touch that dope addict. The only one that can reach out and touch that homosexual. The only one that can reach out this morning and touch that thief. The only one that can reach out and touch that gang member. David Wilkerson went into the slums of New York and found there those gangs and began to preach the gospel to them. And God worked mightily and changed the lives of so many of them. Yet we live in a society that shuns Jesus Christ. But I want to tell you, he's still wonderful in his power. And the gospel is still wonderful in its power. And if we want to change society, we need to preach to them Jesus. And let Jesus do the changing today. Wonderful Jesus. He's wonderful. His power. He never leaves us. He's always with us. Several years ago on a train going out west, there was a man got on the train. And they'd pass a beautiful sight. He'd say, "Wonderful, wonderful." And he'd look at the food, "Wonderful, wonderful." And everything, every time he would see something, he'd just exclaim, "How wonderful." Finally, someone went to him and said, "What's the matter with you?" He said, "Oh, man, there's nothing the matter with me." He said, "I was born blind." But he said, "There was a surgeon in the city, and he discovered a technique that could help my disease. And he operated on me, and he said, now I can see." And he said, "Well, I want to tell you, it's wonderful. It's wonderful, it's wonderful. I want to tell you, I was blind, but now I see, and I have a wonderful Jesus this morning." Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. One of the amazing things that I see every once in a while is this time of the year we have a lot of Christmas specials on television. One of those Christmas specials, of course, is the Charlie Brown Christmas special. Like Charlie Brown. Like Linus. Boy, he's my favorite. And you know, during that thing, Charlie Brown's looking for the real meaning of Christmas. Right toward the end of it, you know what happens? Linus says, "And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And he said, Charlie Brown, that's the real meaning of Christmas. I want to tell you the real meaning of Christmas is a Savior was born. Wonderful Jesus, and he's still wonderful this morning. He's still wonderful. He's still wonderful, and he'll remain wonderful for the rest of our lives. Wonderful, 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 wonderful Jesus. Oh, what he's done for me, and what he'll do for you. This morning, he invites men to him. He invites men to be saved. He invites men to be forgiven. And then you can say, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Jesus this morning. All right, if you'll stand together with me, and Brother Josh, if you'd come. Dear Lord, we thank you today that we have this opportunity that we can come once again and approach your throne of grace. And Lord, this morning as this throne of grace, we simply come to you today and ask you that as we go through this season, as we go through this time, that through our lives men can know Jesus Christ and that he is wonderful in what he can do. We thank you this morning for these that are here. Bless them in a very special way in Jesus' name.